Hallelujah. Well, did everybody have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Everybody have a good Christmas?
Yes.
Anybody travel?
Yes.
Anybody travel a little bit?
Yes.
The long way home, had to get on a plane or drive along a long time. Isn't there nothing like home?
Yes.
There's no place like home.
Right.
You know? The title of today's message, there's no place or nothing like home in my Father's house. Thank you. Is that like they do on the talk shows, or are they going to exit me out for commercial? Glory to God. There's nothing like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Sometimes don't you wish you could just click your heels 3 times and find yourself back in time, not having to go through the mistakes we make back into our Father's home? Don't you just wish that somebody ever done something? We talked about last week about having the opportunity and missing the opportunity. Remember we talked about that, and after you go, oh. Isn't that kind of like how life is as well? And you know, sometimes we could just, don't you wish that we could just, after we have done something, just say, man, I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could just go back to the beginning. I think all of us like that. It's so easy to get distracted when it comes to what the world says it's okay to do these days. I got a little bit of a hollow. I don't know if that's because of that. Just turn me down just a little bit, maybe. Glory to God. Is that better? Yes. I think it is. The world wants the church to be tolerant. The world wants the church to be tolerant. Can you imagine? The world is asking the church to be tolerant. And they really are. Putting down the church and, oh, that's the way they are. Times have changed. Have you been hearing it? It's all over the news. It's in politics. It's everything. The world, and even in political realms where what is going on in the world, still want the church to be tolerant. Can you imagine? They want us to be tolerant about same-sex marriage. Come on. Drinking. Premarital sex. What's next? Being able to marry children? Come on. We're in an ugly world right now. We really are. And if that was brought up, it would not shock me right now. It would not shock me. I'm just saying the world would not think in our lifetime that I'm just saying that I would not think in my lifetime that I would ever see what I'm seeing right now and how bad it is right now and corrupt. Where is our God? And doesn't he care about how bad it is right now? Go with me to Isaiah. Where is our God in all this that's going on right now with everything else? Who serves God in the room? Lord Jesus, we serve you today. But aren't we questioning sometimes? How can God allow that to happen? And we do. We really do. The world really does. So go in the Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Amen? My wife had a message ready. She's just about ready to preach it because I told her last night, get ready. I don't feel good. I haven't felt good for a couple days, but yesterday I felt a little better. And then I told her last night, just get ready. So I asked her this morning, where's your message? She goes, I didn't get one. She had faith in me. Then she goes, but I do want to talk about Nehemiah. Fifty-nine and 1 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that you will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for the truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper eggs and weave spider's web. Who eats of their eggs and dies? And from what is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not begin garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, this is a harsh word, but there's so much truth in it. Sometimes we don't like to look at the harsh things. We don't want to read and examine the tough stuff. But Lord, you're a tough God, and I thank you for being that way. I thank you for being tough on me, tough on my life, my family. I thank you for being tough. But with that toughness, there's love, much more love. And Lord, it's only because you love us so much that you're that tough. And so, Lord, today, be as you will, Lord, in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. There's nothing like home. There's no place like home. There's nothing like home. There's no place like home. Ever heard that before? Dorothy woke up and found herself just in that predicament. Let's suppose for a minute that the wicked witch is the evil spirit. And here's where my wife's going to look at me. Don't say it. And the works of demonic forces. And I'm not going to call her witch because the Lord does not do witchcraft. Says, and she goes, you better not. And I said, and the good spirit is the Holy Spirit. Am I saved? Thank you. She wouldn't even let me get past here in the car. She's like, I'm saying, babe, forget it. I'm throwing something at you. Well, you can't come on. I said, forget it. I'll just go home. Because I couldn't even get past that point. The good spirit is the Holy Spirit, and we are all Dorothy. All of us have a little Dorothy in us, don't we? We all do. We find ourselves in some predicament sometime. Amen. I love red slippers, so I asked my wife to help me this morning with my visual. Are you wearing your red slippers, babe? I didn't want to offend anybody by calling them the munchkins. And then I was going to have a good Holy Spirit and a evil, a visual. And so anyway, I told my wife today, she said this. Don't get mad. She said, visuals are supposed to be of the Old Testament, not of old movies. And I said, God, what if God told me and gave me the visual? And she goes, well, the old prophets, this and that. And it was, he even told the old prophets, I show you this to show the people. And so I said, all right, I'm going to get it. So anyway, the old story, the old movies, and everyone movies, but everyone in life, we find ourselves hanging to make a decision whether to pursue God or go down that path of evil one tempts us with, my little pretty.
What is the name of the movie?
Don't worry about it. It's not about a movie. You know what it is? When someone gets married or they want to get married, they got to come spend a week with us. But God is always faithful to give us some help from the Holy Spirit, especially when we find that time of decision making and in times of trouble. The Holy Spirit is always there with us. He never leaves us. He never, this and that. And those, sometimes we think that God does not hear. It's not that he does not hear. It's that our iniquity is before us. It's in front of us before God. His hand is not, his arms have not been shortened, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear our prayers. It's our iniquity that's before us. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such a common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But the temptation will also make a what? A way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Know this, that anytime we find ourselves in something or with under temptation or going down a path we're not to, especially after we've been reborn, there is no way that we cannot stop and go another way, or God would be a liar. He said that in every temptation and everything comes upon us, there's a way of escape. He has done that for us, and God does not lie. Amen? Okay, Dorothy's. That's you. Okay, Dorothy's. It's decision time. The evil way or the Holy Spirit. Instead of follow the yellow brick road, it's enter by the narrow gate. Hallelujah. You know where I'm going. Matthew 7 and 13 says this. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate of difficult and the way which leads to life, and there few find it. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Look at the world today. We got to examine the world today. You know, sometimes we're so caught up in our little worlds. And this is not a bad thing. This is the safety of God. Sometimes there's so much going on around us is that we don't even see the broad road. And we tend to, I'll tell you what, water is a good example. If you drop water in something, it'll find the fastest way, the easiest way to travel. If there's a hole in something, you ever test something, they put water in it, it'll find its way out. It takes the least, it'll find the least resistance, and it'll travel on that road. And that's what the world is doing today. When God speaks at us, when the Holy Ghost is quickening us and this and that, it is so easy to take a broad look at things. Someone once told me, that's how the world is now. It's okay now. But does it say it's okay in the Word of God, which does not change? We take the easy road sometimes. Oh, I know God's speaking to me, but I have an opportunity, you know, to do this or to do that. What is the easy way? When God's speaking to you, take the narrow road, take the gate that God is choosing for us. Amen? I love what another version says, that the broad road leads to destruction. And many find it because they make the wrong decision and listen to the evil spirit, the wicked witch, my little pretty. It's not funny. People were perishing to eternal life, damnation. Amen. Remember, Isaiah 59:1 said this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongues have muttered perversity." Anyone? Anybody in the room besides me? Anyone? Anyone? Come on. We think that we're under the net, we're in the safety, we're in God's hands, this and that. But we have to also examine ourselves. We're so easily to judge the world, but we don't see ourselves sometimes. We don't see where we're at. We need to look and see where my heart's at. I could say, oh, I'm under that covering, and I am, and thank you, God, for your grace. But I'm not looking at really how wicked I am and the things that I'm doing. Am I muttering perversities? Are my hand causing innocent blood? Well, I don't kill no one. Yeah, but if you're gossiping about somebody, if you're tearing somebody down, you have blood on your fingers today. There's blood on your hands today. Your fingers with iniquity. We do that. God doesn't leave us. We leave God. Our sins have hidden his face from us. So how do we get back home, Toto? How do we find our way in the storms of life? Go with me to Luke 15. I'm going to share that part right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Luke 15 and verse 11. To find the greatest example of finding your way home, you have to go to the prodigal son. You have to see what God does, how there's two voices in our ears. You have to examine a young man wanting the world. Anybody else been there? Anybody else been saying, I'm tired of living this way? It worked for mom and dad, but it didn't work for me. Anybody? How about growing up, seeing things? How about your friends doing things? Other things, people doing things. You're saying, God, I'd like to go. Anybody? Luke 15:11 says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger son of them said to his father, Father, give me a portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided him his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger man gathered all together and journeyed to a far country. And there wasted his possessions with prodigal living." That's partying. Prodigal living is the ways of the world. It's doing it the way, the world's way. Okay? Prodigal living. "But when he had spent all, there rose a severe famine in that land, and he began to want." He was getting hungry, tired, didn't have nowhere to go. Sound familiar to some? That's me. Hallelujah. "And there arose a severe famine in the land, and began to be in want." Verse 15, "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, yoked up with some of the locals, got involved with some of the things of the world, the fast money, the easy money, the good way of life, that according to them, you know, they don't have any other bosses, all the entrepreneurs of deceitful living. And there's a lot of that going on. I'm seeing a lot of movies and stuff out right now about people with the banks, industries. These guys went out to fast money. I was watching a murder thing. My wife has been watching a lot of murder stuff lately. Women killing their husbands. I'm like, babe. I watched it once. Babe. She watched it one time. Over and over. Because she got...
Pray for this world. This nation's in trouble.
Amen. Verse 15 says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine, to feed the pigs. And when he gladly had filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will raise and I will go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against you and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. And when he arose and came to his father, but when he was still great far away, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us be eaten, be merry. For my son was dead and now alive again. He was lost and found and began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. He came and drew near the house and heard the music dancing. So he called one of the servants and said and asked him these things. And said to him, your brother has come. And because received safe sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. The ways that the world sees, the road seems better. When the world sees things, everything else for God, it looks easier. And don't you know it's easier to cheat somebody when you're not in the things of God? It's easy to take a little more than you deserve when you're not in the ways of God. It's easy to party a little bit, to sneak off, to do some things when the wicked witch, the evil spirit, starts to tempt you. It always looks better on the other side. It always looks easier than if we didn't have to give up so much serving God. How much do we have to give up to serve God? We're giving up so much to serve God. This young man said, give me what I got coming. I'm going to go out there the easy way. I'm going to make it big. I'm sure he even had his heart, because the wicked one doesn't say, you're going to deceive your father. You're going to deceive everybody. No, you're going to make it and come back and take care of everybody. Doesn't the evil one say it like that? Well, you know what? I'm going to give you a little drugs. You're not going to become an addict. You're going to become a dealer. You're going to make a lot of money. You're going to be... No addict starts out to be an addict. No addict starts out to be an addict. The ways that the world sees, the road seems better. Sin that takes us farther will take away more and cost more than we ever tended to pay. But when we find ourselves at the end and at the decision time, don't you know that there's a decision time for everything we do? There's a decision time. God is so faithful. He says, child, I'm raising you up to be like me. We were made in God's image. He says, like a good father. A good father says this, what are you doing? And instead of butting in, he says, he teaches a way to do it. I'm going to give you input because I've been down that road before. Father God, he's that way. There's nothing better than the Father's house, I'm telling you. When you get that surety of things going on, well, we all do it. We try to, we rebel. We try to do it our own way. But when we find ourselves at that end and the decision time, who will we follow? The Holy Spirit or the road to destruction? In Luke 15 and 17, it said, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and him, and I will indeed tell him, have sinned against him and before you, and no longer be worthy to call the son, and make me one of your hired servants. See, there comes a time that you got to understand something. Me and Denise and the church, I know you guys are a big part of it. You're like, it's such a great part of our lives. But this year was one of the hardest years we've ever lived. It is, since we've been serving God. It was a tough year. We had to make some decisions. I mean, 100 times I quit. I quit every day. My wife's like this telling me, you can't quit. I said, I quit. I'm done. One of the toughest things. But our Father. So everything came against us. And it wasn't done out of hate. It was done in love and in misunderstanding. So much stuff was gone. I remember when we moved to Covina and we were in that big church and everything and everything was so good. And life was going good and everything was going well. Our attendance was way up. We were over 200. I mean, it was like just like we were doing just everything. And then all of a sudden it was just like Job, man. Boom, we're going to take away everything. Now, I didn't have no boils. I did have a couple of pimples, but I didn't have no boils. And hey, you're 50-some years old, you get a pimple, you're like, what's going on? You know, maybe I'm getting younger. But things were taken from us. Things,
praise God.
Things were taken from us. But when we come to our senses, I'm sure the son thought, my dad is so disappointed.
That's true.
I can't go back. I'm a failure. Who was telling him that? The wicked witch. Who was telling him? Follow that road. Keep going. Stay on the road. Keep staying on the road. But when decision time came, one said, do you want to go home? Made a way of escape. We always think that it's better elsewhere, but it's better when we come home where less is more. The world tempts us with having everything, but more is less. To have the responsibility for more, sometimes we drove by some houses recently up the hills. I looked at it and we were like, my God, that's a beautiful home, man. My Lord, give me that home. And then they said, well, how are you going to pay the taxes? I said, I like our home. Taxes, $1 million probably. I mean, beautiful. It's beautiful. But why do we need that? Everything looks better on the other side.
Right.
Jeremiah 18:1 says, the words which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, I'll give you a visual here because this is Old Testament, but I've got a movie on my mind. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words.
Amen.
And then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something on the wheel, at the wheel. And the vessel that made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. It seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do this to you as the potter, says the Lord? Look, as clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up, to pull down, to destroy it. If a nation against whom I have spoken turns its from its evil, I will relent and the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And I instant I speak concerning the nation, concerning the kingdom, to build and to plan it. And if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. The potter is the Lord here, people. We're in God's hands today. I'll tell you what, sometimes things get a little marred up. Anybody? Sometimes things get a little broke down. Sometimes things start to crumble a little bit. But we're still in God's hands.
Amen.
We're still in His hands this morning. Listen, and when He begins to look at other things, when we begin to look at other things, it takes He takes His hands off because we choose other gods. And He said, I shall have no other gods before me. Listen to me. We think, oh my God, God's leaving me out here. What are you looking at? What are you desiring? What is more important than His relationship with you? Remember in the beginning, He said, because my hands are not shortened and my ear is not heavy, He's right here. He can hear everything else. It's what we're doing in our lives and what He wants to do in our lives. Now, were we in evil and iniquity? No. But there's sometimes the Lord has to change some circumstances.
Yes.
Toughest year of my life. The best year of my life.
Hallelujah.
He is a jealous God. But He only wants to benefit us. As soon as we realize the relationship, no other life will we want to live. Me and my wife have the greatest life. We went through many struggles this year. At times we wanted to give up, but we pressed in and continued to follow Jesus. Listen, we had the best year in our struggles.
Yes.
I think we've ever had since we've seen God work in the most. Amen. We live better with less and enjoy life more living in our Father's house. See, because what we want and what we think and everything else and everything we pursue and we're looking for something else, He's just saying, listen, let it go, come home. Come home. Even in church, sometimes we're not home. We might be in this building this morning, but we're not home. Times we want to give up, but we pressed in and continued to follow Jesus. We lived better with less and enjoy life more, living in our Father's house. Whose voice are you listening today? A lot of characters came along to help Dorothy. A lot of characters came along. You know, a little tin man, you know, a little recycling plant, some of the animals, the nature came along. What was the other one? The scarecrow? What was he? I think he was just firewood. You know, there's always things in our life that God's going to provide. He's providing that. Gave us our puppies. I guess that would be the lion, right? He gave us a fuel and a fire and even a trailer when we need to live in it. Huh? And the tin man, praise God. We've got a little bit of all that. There's a lot of things in the world that he gives us in the world, but that wasn't what was needed here. What was needed? If you look back at Dorothy, what did she say? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And I think some of us have forgotten about how precious this is to be in the house of God, to be in his bosom, to be living a life with him, to live in a life without iniquity and bloodshed and all these other things. See, God doesn't, he hasn't pronounced judgment on us. We have judged ourselves, prejudged. He's saying, my arms are not short that I can't reach out and just bring you back in. My ears not heavy, just ask. Just ask. Amen. But ultimately, it was the decision to go home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Have you been searching down the wrong road? Let's stand this morning. We're going to have some time for altars this morning. Trying to give us a little more time to draw closer to God.